The water system right now, I've mentioned this several times, Mohammed. U.S. filter was bought up in America by Zionist interest through the Vivendi company, which has now changed its name to Veolia. This Veolia company is now runs the water system through an affiliate named U.S. Filter in 60% of all the major cities in the United States. And it is the same force that's behind the municipalities enforcing people to start metering their wells and water under their property. And they're going to start making it a law in Australia right now that water coming from rain down on your roof into a collection cistern is going to be metered. Now, the big push right now in the world and their next big monopoly play is on water.
Now, as you're aware, Dan, we have a lot of rain in the UK. It's one thing that this little island is famous for. And they actually went through this process with Britain under Margaret Thatcher. She was the one who started it and got people paying. The first thing they did was strip the water rates out from the municipal rate as a tax.
Yep.
We had a water tax separated, and then slowly they were then in a position to turn that into private enterprise in this country. And
yep.
Now, exactly what you're saying, though, they're trying to now move on to the next stage, which is metering the water. So pay-as-you-go water, and if you don't have money, you don't get water. Quite ridiculous. And coming back to what you said, Dale, also, members of the Green Movement, in examining the way in which not just technologies, but also economy and the way that the banking system was used internationally to suppress countries and to rape them of their natural resources for a shilling to take something of great value,
mm-hmm.
They found every time the same big business, and it wasn't long before they started looking hard at that big business and found the usual suspects actually sat behind it, by which time, of course, members of the Green Movement then started becoming labelled in the UK anti-Semites. They'd actually discovered what was really going on.
Well, you see, Mohammed, nothing's new under the sun here, except the goal of their deception has shifted from one resource to another. But what we are as human beings has remained the same. We are still all thirsting for freedom. We're still all thirsting for a wonderful family life. We're still thirsting for laughter and beauty in our world. And what we find is that this same group has decided to keep all of us off balance. They'll destroy family values. They'll destroy family cohesion. They'll destroy moral fiber. They'll destroy. And so there are parallel battles going on all of those fronts, because where we have our strength is in our core human need to be community, to see beauty, to do good. These are the things that bring us together. So they have targeted us with pornography and with divorce and with Gloria Steinem's women's movement, so that we could separate men from women and television shows that make men look like imbeciles, and or the metrosexualization of men, turning men into girls, and they're all walking around like fruit flies, and these are actual assaults on our social fabric that are leaving us impotent against their moves here. And if you try to explain this to somebody, you know, one of these foofy guys walking down Fifth Avenue, you say, you know, you're playing into a Zionist conspiracy here. He doesn't understand that, because he has been acculturated now into thinking that being a limp-wristed, skinny little weasel is the way that he's going to get forward in this world. But sadly, Mohammed, that is the norm being foisted upon all of us. And at the same time, the beauty in men and women being married and being together and having families and all of these things have been completely undermined by these same forces. This is a multi-pronged, multi-faceted assault on the human condition that we really must understand. And people look at, they write me, they go, how could it be this big? How could it be? Well, they set the policy at the top, and they've got the infrastructure to deliver it. That's basically all you need to know. It doesn't mean, Mohammed, that that they have a Zionist sitting at every TV channel, that they have a, you know, that Gloria Steinem, being the leader of the women's movement, had to figure out how to put a Zionist in every, you know, woman's wardrobe closet. That's not what they needed to do. All they needed to do is take the flow of history in their own hands and manipulate it to their own ends. And that's exactly what they've done, and they've been so successful at it. And what the French Connection is doing, and what you've been doing, is we're taking that flow back from them, one listener at a time, is what we're doing.
And we're hoping that, I mean, I'm very aware of the fact, Daryl, that, you know, because I've come from these different backgrounds and seen the number of people and that have got this level of depth of understanding, grasping it fully. You know, I still, you know, don't see anybody coming near the level of clarity and simplicity of such a complex system, of such a complex web of presenting it to people, so that the people are becoming extremely well informed. They really are grasping this very well. And as you yourself are noticing, they're coming back for more and more all the time, aren't they, Daryl?
Well, they are, and you know, the bad guys are working more harder than ever to stop me, and I don't doubt that they'll take any measure necessary to stop me if they can't keep me silenced by other means. But I have to hope that that my supporters would be as aggressive in my support as they will be to try to silence me, and I can only hope that's true. You know, it's doing this with the PayPal thing and everything that we talked about at the beginning of the show, I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's an accident. And whether or not they're going to try and make false claims against me or put pornography on my computer or plant drugs in my car, I can assure all of my listeners none of those things would ever happen if they didn't do it, because I certainly am not doing that. So the point being is that this is an information war, as one of the people I despise most in this movement says. It is an information war, but it's more than that. It is a battle for human dignity that that most people don't realize they've lost. And my first job is to explain to them how they have lost their dignity, how covering yourself with tattoos and putting pins through your head and acting in a vulgar fashion and acting like a female when you're a male these are not celebrations of the human family, but rather abominations to the human condition. And in order for people to understand this, Mohammed, they have to simplify their observations and say, look, especially people in their 50s and 60s like we are getting, you're younger than me, you're still a pup over there, but I've been able to see the movement of this sickness over my own lifetime in just the 50 years I've been alive. We are descending into a pit of sickness that only could have been designed by sociopaths and psychopaths. And that has to be said here, because, you know, I was talking to my wife here, and there's been a disease on all the food stocks here in France. There was a mildew that grew on all of the food here and they blamed it on an excessive amount of rain. But I talked to several farmers in my region here, and none of them had ever seen a mildew like this in their entire lives. Some of them were in their 80s that I talked to, but they have seen rainy seasons like this. And what they experienced during those rainy seasons were some problems with the roots and some problems with flooding and whatnot, but never saw a mildew get spread nationwide like this one did. And I thought to myself, this sounds very much like what happened in the Russian steppes when 30 million people were starved to death intentionally, where they destroyed the food stocks through several means. One of them was allowing a proliferation of rats to infest their silos without providing the means to stop it was one of the things that they allowed to happen. But my point being is, if they were willing back in the 1930s to murder 30 million Russians through starvation, what makes you think that they're not willing to starve us now and can destroy our food supply?
They're capable of anything, Dowley. As people who've been listening to your show beginning to realize, these people have fermented wars and fermented revolutions. They've brought a huge amount of misery and suffering. And reading between the lines, Dowley, I think what you're saying is something which, you know, people listening really need to think very hard about what I'm about to say, because the answer really is obvious, and it's a very sad thing to have to say, Dan, but, you know, we have to ask ourselves, would the world be a better and nicer place without them?
Without Zionists, absolutely. And is Zionism a curable condition, or is this a condition that is going to revisit us for the whole of our existence if we are not to stamp it out as a cancer? Now, of course, there are many righteous Jewish people in this world who have seen, even before I ever knew any of it, the dangers in Zionism. And they've been vocal, and many of them have lost their lives, and many of them have lost their fortunes and whatnot, fighting against these same forces. So certainly to say that all Jews are part of it is absolutely a false statement. But when it comes to Zionism, and when people have identified themselves as adherents to a Zionist agenda, they have to be seen immediately as the enemy to humanity. And that cannot be equivocated with any argument that they might come up with, because the fact is, if you look at the histories we've provided you, and you look at the facts as they fall before you, they can be seen as no other thing but an enemy to humanity. Now,
it's not the wars and revolutions like Joan has raised, and we've covered it in this particular show, Daryl. They're even quite happy to destroy parts of the environment in those parts of the world in which they and their families don't live. They're quite happy to completely destroy backyards, poison them, destroy irreplaceable forests that we need to be leaving for future generations. These aren't exaggerations. These are scientifically accepted phenomena by the mainstream media, and
that's
it
right.
Is sane people behind it now.
Well, I mean, look, the Zionist Jewish state of Israel wants the headwaters of the Tigris-Euphrates River to be piped down to their plateaus and their plains in the southern Bekaa Valley and into the Golan Heights after they've attack Syria and into Jordan, which they're already in control of. And so they don't have to worry that much about the depleted uranium poisoning the lower delta and the Baghdad area. They're worried about that mountain water being piped in at the source and brought straight down. And so the war in Iraq is not just a war for oil control, and it may not be for oil pumping. It may in fact be a way of taking oil out of production so they can get more money per barrel. But it's also about consolidating the need they have for water, and also eliminating any possible threat to their supremacy in that region by destroying any cohesion in the Iraqi society as well as the Iranian society. So a lot of people want to boil the reasons for this war in the Middle East, or the wars in the Middle East, down to a single reason. Somebody says the war was for oil. And a lot of people will say, if you say that to somebody in the truth movement, and I hate using that term, but if you say that, they'll say, oh yeah, the war was for oil and for Israel. Well, it was for a lot more than that. They have a multitude of reasons for doing what they're doing. And, you know, nothing is ever as linear as everyone wants to think it is, Muhammad.
No, it isn't, Daryl. But I think that the complexities, you've managed to put them forward to people clearly and in a way which maybe we've oversimplified a few points here and there, but we've established what the bones of what's going on and what its real shape is and what its real structure is.
Yeah, and you know, even the aristocracy in Britain who are in some ways bought and paid for by this organization, many of them are also compartmentalized and are not fully aware of what role they've been playing in some instances. I mean, the fact is that the real control at the top is not made by a Lord Rothschild or a Lord or the Oppenheimer family, but rather a long-standing, time-tested organization, a very, very few in number, but still an organization that works very hard at forwarding different agendas. And you'll find it in the CFR, you'll find it in their roundtables, you'll find it in the trilateral, you'll find it in so many places. These goals get transported down from different places to different mechanisms. You'll find some of this stuff working its way through the CIA. Of course, I mentioned the Jewish woman the woman's movement there, Gloria Steinem and Bella Abzug and the rest of these people that were working to destroy the relationship of families. That came out of the CIA, but what you have to understand is these policies were fed into the CIA by these forces. And many of the people in the CIA that were actually working on these projects may not know the origins of these criminals. They may not know that Gloria Steinem's role was to destroy family values for Zionist supremacy. See, the compartmentalization of all this stuff stops people from ever connecting all the dots, Muhammad. That's one of the points that we need to make here. You might have had people on 9/11, the 10th of September, the day before the attack, from FEMA, not knowing that they were pre-positioned there by these forces and what their role was. You see, they weren't told the whole conspiracy. They were only given bits that they needed to know. And that's how this conspiracy could stay under control. What I'm trying to do is connect those dots for people, and that people from the inside who have participated in it, who hear these broadcasts, can finally make the connection of what role they actually played in the crimes that have been committed. What do you think?
Excellent. And a classic example, Dowley, is, you know, somebody like Joan, who's done such painstaking research and traveled around the world and met
yep.
so many people and seen in her eyes all these disparate activities that all appeared to have separate agendas and all be separately managed, that when you look more closely, although Quigley was right to some degree that there are some small side agendas there, when we look at all the major ones, the result, because the thing about the Rhodes Group, you don't hear of people dying en masse, you don't hear of the environment being destroyed, you don't hear of any of these kind of activities coming from the people behind that particular conspiracy. But when we look at the conspiracies that result in suffering of humanity, large-scale death, large-scale destruction of the environment, we find that actually behind that hidden veil is the same group of puppet masters who know, just like when they created a charter for the Bank of England 300 years ago, we create the rules by which it operates, we pay people to work in it afterwards. We don't need to be in the Bank of England afterwards, because we've set the framework by which this institution operates. Now, as long as the people, we put auditors in to make sure everybody does their job properly, and then we've got nothing to worry about.
That's right. That's right.
It's all on its own.
That's right. And then what we do need, though, and this here's the dynamic section of this conspiracy, and I have to tell everybody, the media is complicit in an overt sense, because they are aware of what they suppress. They are aware of crimes that go unreported and of manipulations of truth that they present. And so of all the groups that they've had to take actual hands-on control of, it is the media. And so when you see media moguls from the Zionist Jewish persuasion, you can rest assured that they are fully aware of the conspiracy and that they are fully participating in all of the deceptions, because they are privy to the actions of this group that never get reported.
That is the one area that they've always managed, Al, because they've had to manage it interactively in real time, because every so often what they're up to. Somebody discovers it. And what's that game that you described that they play in America where you beat the mole, is it?
Yeah, the whack-a-mole, yeah.
The mole. But basically, as soon as the head turns up, they are actively waiting for that and to whack it back down. You know, whether it's an environmentalist, whether it's somebody who's doing some research in Africa, somebody discovers some nefarious, illegal, immoral activity, child slavery and child prostitution in a former Eastern Bloc country by these corporations. As soon as they discover these things, they do their best to make sure that it's sold in a particular way in the media. And that means, yes, Daryl, you're right, they must be complicit with what's going on because they have to understand how to resell it out to the public in a way that they will consume it and not look beyond what they say.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, the first group that we have to actually take back for ourselves is this mouthpiece media that is working overtime in the Western world to lie to its publics. And that is across the board today in Britain, France, Germany, and the assorted other European countries, and in America thoroughly, and I dare say even Japan. There are a couple of outlets that have popped up above the truth meter here, and then, of course, you know, the first thing that will happen is there will be a buyout. They'll get bought out or they'll get burned out, you know. Here on the Internet, it's a little different story because what we've done so far is not just posted on the French Connection, but it's everywhere. So were they to stop it now, the fuse has been lit. As I said last broadcast, and I don't know if you heard it, but the box is open. Their days are numbered. I may not see the end of their criminal conspiracy, you know, when it collapses, although that is my hope. They are living on borrowed time right now. The Muslim community, I must tell you, the Muslim community knows more about this conspiracy than any. The biggest crime that's been committed in the last 30 years is the demonization of Islam and the Muslim community. And I gotta say, you know, they passed this hate crimes legislation in America through the Senate, but I'm certain the hate crimes doesn't mean we can't call Arabs bad names. It only means that you can't talk about Zionism anymore. Interesting that, you know, it's all right to draw pictures of the Prophet Muhammad up in Sweden, but, you know, nobody could dare ever talk about, you know, Rabbi Dov Zolkheim stealing money for the Zionist conspiracy. That would be anti-Semitic, but it's okay to make cartoons about Muhammad. I mean, these are the kinds of things that they're willing to do, and it's important that we point out these hypocrisies because it actually clearly shows who's benefiting. This is the kind of experiences that we are able to point to say who's really doing this and for what reason.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Mohammed?
Oh, I think what you said is absolutely correct, and the internet's punched a hole, a big hole, in that mainstream media. But the mainstream media, as a Goliath, it still needs the rest of the people. Now it's on the ground to run in and take it over. Absolutely.
Well, if you'd like a last statement about Joan's work, because I wanted to just talk a little bit more about, you know, interesting, when somebody comes on my program here and talks about things that I'm not as well versed in as I should be or could have been, I often don't challenge them on any of the stuff they're talking about except to say that maybe they don't have the whole story. But of course, part of my responsibility and the listeners is to do their due diligence and go back and see if there might be information that could be added and things that could be restated so that there's better clarity. You've done that tonight, but I'm going to give you an opportunity here to maybe make a final statement on what we've discussed tonight, Mohammed.
What I would say is that the British clearly, at the time they did have an empire, were useful as a host. The Britain isn't the world military power now. Everybody acknowledges there's only one superpower, And as a result of that, they have become the new host. And what we really need is for the work like that Joan has done, for people to realize, yes, it was relevant, but look at who the new host is. We need people in America to wake up and realize, okay, you can be the superpower, but be a benevolent superpower. Don't be dictatorial. Be what people know the Americans for. You know, a guy's down on his luck. He's the guy that gets picked up, dusted down, and helped out. Those are the films that we all remember seeing and looked up for. We saw these films and thought, wow, To Kill a Mockingbird and Big Country and all these great films where we saw the noble side of the American character. That's what we'd like, if it's going to be a superpower, to be running the world. People of that ilk and that quality.
I couldn't have said it better. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope what we've done tonight is a clarifying document here for all of the listeners, because, you know, this battle that we're fighting right here is not, as I said before, it's not a clear one-directional thing. We've got lots of disparate parts, but you need to know that the goal has always remained the same for these controllers. And what we're going to try to do here on the French Connection is always move the ball forward and get it down the field so that one day we can reclaim the dignity that the human family has a right to claim. You know, if you want to read a document that'll shock you, read the Declaration of Independence. It is powerful that we have the right to throw off the shackles of tyranny. We have that right as humans. And because those shackles are being placed upon us by this group, it is them that has to become our enemy. They are my enemy, and I hope they are yours, and that we work feverishly to stop them, because if we don't, they will succeed. And technology will force us into a terrible future. So take this seriously. Please work hard, ladies and gentlemen, and understand that many of their actions are actually coming to pass right now. They're working overtime to get their structure in place. And America is on the skids, as Muhammad and I have discussed many times. So do your work. Until the next time, take care of your families, ladies and gentlemen, and be well. Bye-bye now.